We always think we know what the very first scene of Steven Spielberg's film Saving Private Ryan is. It's the battle at Omaha Beach on D-Day. Actually, it isn't. The very first scene is of an American flag, followed by the back of a man's head. He's an old man walking away from us. Behind him, at a little bit of a distance, walks an older woman looking concerned, a young man, four young women, and a little boy. We take it that this is the older man's family. They are following him on some kind of pilgrimage. Each of them is responding to the vision of this older man walking away from them in a different way. Each of them seems to be trying to connect with what he can see and what he has witnessed, what they have not. Then we get a close-up of the man's face, and we try to decipher what he's thinking, what he can see in his mind's eye, what he might be feeling. As the camera pans onto an American flag and then a French flag, we each interpret his expression in our own way. But we cannot see what he has seen. We don't know what has moved him. He walks past a row of white crosses, a white Star of David. And even though we are with him, his family is with him, he is alone. He is solitary in his experiences. And we can only guess at his emotions. And we don't know who he is. 3 minutes and 30 seconds into the film, we gaze through his eyes at the destruction of Omaha Beach on D-Day. But we still don't know who this man is. And we won't know until the very last scene of the film. The extraordinary opening of Steven Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan has always struck me, as it so vividly illustrates what so many of us, fortunate enough to have not seen battle firsthand, fortunate enough to have led lives of relative peace, thanks to the men and women who have gone to battle, have often experienced when talking to those who were there. As hard as we try, as much as we love and honour those people, even if we have visited cemeteries, even when we have walked battlefields, we are still distant from the experience. It's the rare piece of work, a film such as Steven Spielberg's Saving Private Ryan, or a rare piece of art, such as the current exhibit at Gallery 425 in Williamsport, by Gordon Wenzel, called Battery 223, which takes us beyond that distant view and brings us to a closer understanding. Here is photographer Gordon Wenzel telling us more about his exhibit, Battery 223.
I had photographed the Cape May Bunker, Battery 223, about 5-6 months before my grandfather passed away. I liked the work, but I felt that there was something more needed. One of the pieces was exhibited at the Art Association of Harrisburg juried show last year. And when Judy Olinsky from Gallery 425 approached me about having a show for her new gallery, I thought all summer about what I might do. In the meantime, I had been reading these letters that my grandfather sent from the trenches and from the European theater during World War II to his brother back home. And my wife and I talking about what potentially I might do as a new body of work, we got this idea of really should do something with these letters. And thinking about this series of images from the Battery 223 in Cape May, I got the idea, why not superimpose his handwriting on this structure that was used to defend the mouth of the Delaware at the same time he was fighting abroad?
Where was your grandfather stationed? Where did he serve?
He was shipped to England, and then he was in the Third Army, the 358th infantry, and they fought their way from Normandy through France and eventually to Germany.
Was he part of D-Day?
Well, he came right after. But then they followed through in pushing through France, and he was, according to the Tough Hombres, things I've read, that's what they did. They followed the American breakout from the Normandy beachhead.
It's not uncommon, is it, for those who served, actually in any war, for those who are left at home and left afterwards to be very vague about where they were and what they did?
He never talked about it, as many servicemen who saw that kind of horrific engagement. He never talked about it. He would drop clues every now and then. He'd get out some pictures every now and then. He did tell me a couple stories that were very compelling, but no, he didn't really talk about it much.
And these letters weren't to his wife. Was he married at the time?
Yes, and my father was born at that time. So that's why I suspect that maybe he shared things that maybe he wanted to shield her from.
He wrote these letters to his brother,
to his brother, Roland.
To your great uncle.
Yes. My aunt, his daughter, somehow received them from the family, and she thought that I should have them. And so I started reading them. It was a difficult thing to try and reconcile when I started to see some of the things. But it's a very human story because you can see there's a longing for home, a longing for normalcy, as well as a longing for the comforts of home, like simple things like send me some cookies, or I can't wait to get a really good cup of coffee. And his sister-in-law, Jane, he said, you'd make a great cup of coffee. I can't wait to get home and have that. Or even the family, they recounted in a letter to him about going to the carnival and taking my dad's cousin to the carnival. He's like, I hope I get to do that one day.
Where was home for your grandfather?
It was in Williamsport here. He was local. He lived as a young man in Germania in the Renova area, but eventually they moved to town.
You knew your grandfather?
Oh, incredibly well. In fact, I grew up right next to him. That was a really special thing because I could go over and visit after school. And he was the kindest, gentlest man, meekest man I've ever met. Maybe I'm a little biased, but...
What was it like then to get these letters and look at these letters? Were you able to connect the letters to the man that you knew?
He had passed away when I had received these letters. He was almost 99 when that happened. And so we had had many conversations about things, but not these letters. And so, yeah, it was trying to reconcile the things that I read there. Not that he described anything terrible, but what he alludes to. And then when you read about the histories of those places that he refers to and those engagements, and knowing the kind of man that I knew growing up and all my life, it was really hard to put those two together, which is why I thought this was a really interesting combination of imagery and text.
So in some ways, reading the letters, it was almost like being reintroduced to this man who had been your grandfather.
Or seeing another side, maybe. He was always a man of honor and a loyal man and a loving man. So thinking about his sense of duty in something that was horrific.
You mention that he won a Bronze Star. Have you any idea what happened to him?
No, it just said for heroic achievement. And that was not something that, you know, we only found out later. It wasn't something that he says his heroic achievement in accordance with military tradition. I don't really know what that means.
So he did not share these stories?
Well, the one story he did share, which I'm sure haunted him his whole life and kind of haunts me. After an engagement, he, as they often do, would find things from fallen combatants. And I think this was probably a defining moment in his life because he found a passport from a soldier, a German soldier.
And you're holding that very thing.
I am.
My goodness, this is a piece of folded card.
And wait till you see the inside.
It's clearly German, from Berlin. Oh, my goodness. Hermann Wenzel. Or is it Wenzel?
Our same last name.
So it is.
And he had told me this story, but this came with the letters. I never knew that he still had held on to this. And I could tell when he told me the story that this was a defining moment in his life.
Did he find this on...
A fallen soldier. How do you reconcile that? How do you... What do you do with that? I just don't know. And so that's probably, when thinking about that in these letters and having that, I felt that I wanted to share this story with these images.
You took the bunker in Cape May, Battery 223, which last time I visited was beginning to crumble back into the sea, and I haven't been for 10 years, so I should imagine it's even more eroded now than it was 10 years ago. But these symbols of the war are gradually fading, almost fading away, as the men and women who experienced the war have faded away and are fading away. And you chose to take his actual handwriting, isn't it, that you've superimposed?
It's his handwriting that's been superimposed onto the images, almost like graffiti.
How did you pick which text to use? Was it an instinct? Because some of them are very stark. Some of the one lines, mm-hmm. like the one about cookies, very, very stark, almost shocking.
I selected them based on, I wanted a narrative, basically. The images are chronological. So I have these series of letters that are dated from the early part of the war. I think the first letter is August 5th, 1944. And then the last letter in the collection is May 12th, 1945. So I selected from each letter something that I thought that moved that narrative forward and told a very human story of... Not just deprivation, not just, I mean, there's nothing in there about heroics. It's about simply wanting to be back home and finding yourself in these places. He several times said he didn't think he was going to get through.
Had he ever been to Europe?
No, so our family came from Germany. It would have been his grandparents, I believe, that actually immigrated to the States. In fact, he grew up in his household speaking German.
Is there a particular letter or a particular comment that has moved you more than any other?
Cycling back to what we were talking about as far as never talking about these experiences later on, the first image that I actually combined text and images, he's talking about their mother, his brother and his mother. Now I know what mother meant when she said, "Grandfather only revealed once what he was through during the Franco-Prussian War. One just doesn't relive what is in the past. It all returns too vividly." You can read between the lines of what he's saying and what ordeals he must have had to confront. He was a scout, so you know he was up front. I guess the other one that kind of tells a story of history repeating itself, he's talking about the Chateau theory in France. And it says, "They even used the old trenches of the last war to fight from. You can still see the old shell craters, new ones too." It struck me as rather absurd that here, however many years later, they're using those same trenches. That resonated with me. Part of what this series talks about is that vicious cycle, history repeating itself.
The men and women who served during the Second World War, they came back and there was no knowledge of PTSD. There was no knowledge of what had happened to these men and women psychologically that would haunt them, that would be with them the rest of their lives.
And never expressing it, they must have really internalized it deeply because I never saw it surface. The only thing that was obvious, he had hearing trouble. And so there would be repeated conversations about how, you know, it was because of the shelling. But that was pretty much the extent of those things surfacing. So I'm not sure how they were able to repress it and hold it back. But now it's pretty out in the open, PTSD and all that sort of stuff. My dad and my aunt, his children, they have the same kind of perspective. It wasn't anything he ever shared, just in bits and pieces. And as he got older and he was bedridden, he got the pictures out and he wanted to kind of go through things. But that was it.
So in a way, these photographs with the superimposed words are almost a memorial to your grandfather and to the men who served with him.
It kind of preserves those moments for all of us to reflect on. That otherwise, just like the bunker being washed away on the beach, is time is eroding, and you know, those things, future generations, will they know these stories?
One always hopes in a story like this that this story has a happy ending, or at least a hopeful ending. And you mentioned that you were given these letters after your grandfather died, and you knew your grandfather, so we know that he survived the Second World War. He survived these experiences. He came home to the good coffee and to the happy family life in Williamsport. Was he a happy man? What happened to him?
He was a very happy man. He was a man of faith. It's kind of interesting because after the post-war, there was an occupation time, and he didn't come right home afterwards. He was there quite some time. And he was able to pursue his love for photography. He had been apprenticing prior to that. And so when he was there, he made friends with a German master photographer in Waldmünchen and got to work and learn from him. And he had a Northlight studio, which a Northlight studio was on the second floor. It was a, we would think of it like a solarium now. It was just glass that faced north so that the light was always soft and even. So my grandfather got to work there. In fact, in one of the letters he talks about, he had set up a darkroom and was doing prints, and the other servicemen found out about it, and he was making like 600 prints for everybody because they wanted to send pictures back home. But in the last image, one of the things he mentions is that he signed up for a chemistry course in photography. And that when he comes back, he says he wants to go into the commercial field and also color photography pretty strong when I get back. When he came back, he ended up working for a local photo finisher, Hoyer's Photographic, right down the street here, for over 40 years. And I have a picture here of him in his darkroom with the first color print that he made from when color printing became accessible. So that was kind of a, like a dream that he had while he was overseas, and he was able to see that through, and he spent his whole career doing what he loved, which was photography.
Have you included that photograph in the exhibit?
Yes, it's part of a little installation piece at the very end, next to the image that talks about, I want to get into color photography really strong, I think he said.
So we get to meet this man.
Yeah.
How long will your exhibition be at the gallery?
It will be there until the end of November, November 30th.
Photographer Gordon Wenzel speaking about his work, Battery 223, which is currently being exhibited at the Gallery 425 in downtown Williamsport. Gallery 425 is on 425 Main Street in Williamsport, and Gordon Wenzel's exhibit, Battery 223, is on show until November the 30th. The website for Gallery 425 is gallery425market.com. Thank you very much to Gordon Wenzel.